This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
That's a good one. That's a good 80s song. You're doing well, man. I worried a little bit. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, first off, I need you to rate. We got a brand new producer. He's doing a wonderful job. He's 7 years old, though. And I said, hey, it's an 80s Friday. And he's like, what kind of 80s, what do you mean? Like, what kind of music? So we're in an education process right now. I need you to rate. How was the phone call from him to you to get you on the program? Was it good?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so professional. I did think that he might have been 6 or 7 years old, but no.
he's a youngster, man. He makes me, I act and feel old all the time anyway, but I said, hey, time for 80s music. And he's like, oh my gosh, what can we play? And I think he was listing off, like, you know, Soundgarden and Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, but we're getting there, man, slowly but surely.
That's so good. So in the 80s, he was probably, what, negative 19?
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah, isn't that sad? It's got to be like that with the NBA, too, with these players coming up. I mean, I always think when I was in high school, I was like, oh, that guy's only like 10 years older than me. Now it's like, oh, my gosh, that guy was born like, you know, 5 years ago. It's got to be a little weird for you sometimes when you're interviewing these players.
Oh, my gosh. I remember the first time that I interviewed a player that was actually born in 2000, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I was so old in 2000. You know what? It's the older I get, it's just like everybody's younger. I mean, let's just put it this way. So the Broncos just hired Nathaniel Hackett, right? And Nathaniel Hackett's 43 years old, and I was like, dude, he's 43 years old. I'm 46 years old. What am I doing? It just is amazing to me. But you get older and everybody's younger, man. That's really what it boils down to.
I know. It's crazy. Can just look at it with these rosters now, and they're into totally different things. And it's also why in the leagues you see guys wanting to get coaches that are maybe a little younger so they can speak their language a little bit more. Or they get leaders on their team, assistant coaches that are, you know, recently removed from the NBA so maybe they can speak their language a little bit more.
Yeah, and here's the other way that you'll – start feeling really old is when you see the son of a player that you were maybe grew up watching, like, oh, he's so good. Now his son is actually playing in the league as well. And you're like, whoa, I remember your dad, which means now that I'm really old. And so, yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's interesting because I think these coaches, I think if you're a coach, you have to be able to just roll with it, man. I mean, you know, part of being a coach is adapting to. I mean, they're young people. Young people are always young, and so you know, they're just cycling them through. And so, you know, they're going to have their different interests. What's happening in the world today? What's the technology of today? All of that stuff is going to factor in to how they act and how they operate on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, these coaches, they ought to be. They ought to be pretty well dialed into that, and then, you know, have the ability to get to communicate with them on that level. Anyway, I'm going to tell you two opposite examples. One is Michael Malone. I think he's really good at this, and you know, he doesn't come from their era at all. But you know, he has bridged the gap of communication. You know, he gets down and does all the stuff with the player. I just love how he has embraced who they are and not gotten so concerned about, oh, you have a cell phone on right now in the locker room, or all the little things that really got on Mal B, Brian Shaw's nerves. And when he was the head coach, and Brian Shaw could not stand it. Couldn't stand cell phones, couldn't stand the fact that they were always on social media. Really was, I thought, too dialed into that. Just doesn't matter. That's what they're into. You know, I mean, there's technology. We didn't have that when we were kids. If we did, we'd have probably been doing the exact same thing. And so, you know, that your ability to be able to deal with it and still, you know, still get through to these players, because at the end of the day, you're still coaching them. Basketball is a universal language. They all speak it. And so, you know, just get to that part, and then don't worry so much about the stuff that's on the fringes.
Plus, we know Michael Malone's kind of hip. I mean, we have a sponsor plug here. He mentioned Weldworks, right? Breweries, all that stuff. He doesn't get much younger than that. I mean, 21, of course, is the minimum there. But you can, you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The thing that's good about him, like, he wants to know. He wants to be in the mix. He wants to, you know, like he's got that. And then at the same time, he understands that he's not hanging out there. But he's going to absolutely know what that is.
Right.
And, hey, maybe, you know, and maybe, yeah, maybe he does go grab, grab a drink or a meal at one of these new trendy places. Of course he's going to do that because he is dialed in on it while still understanding, hey, listen, I'm an older guy. I have a family and a wife and kids, and that's what my main thing is. And so I think you can do both. And he is showing that you can do both. And for those coaches that are, you know, especially the older coaches who are having to continually adapt to younger and younger players who are into different and more different and more different and more different things, those coaches are the ones that have the best longevity.
Well, speaking of kind of, you know, following up with trends and everything, it does seem like the Nuggets are looking at the whole, you know, the day off kind of thing for some of these guys. We know, and again, I know that we listed injuries, and Chris, you don't have to tell us everything, whatever you can tell us. But was it more of just a rest kind of day, or is the Joker really dealing with the toe injury?
Well, I think he was. And, you know, the thing about it, Nikola Jokic is he's going to just play regardless. you literally have to tell him, you got to sit down today because we don't want you to play. And, so he is dealing with a little bit of a toe thing. Obviously, he can play right through it. I mean, he did the game before that in Minnesota, and he played really well. But I think if you're the Nuggets and you can get him a day off, you do it. You know, they had already established that they had won 4 games on that road trip. Could they have put him out there, especially with the depleted Utah team? Could they have put him out there and just been like, we're going to get 5 right now. We're going to get game 5 of this 6-game road trip because they are in no position to be able to handle our team with Nikola Jokic on the court. They could have done that. But at the same time, I think they just felt that they had enough players. They had enough good players on the court that can most certainly compete and maybe even beat the players that Utah was putting on the court. And, you know, they just weren't able to quite get that done in that particular game. But when you win the first 4 games on that on a road trip and of a 6-game road trip, I think we all would have taken 4-2. And so I think that's just was they were doing the math there, and they just said, okay, this is a good time to sit Nikola Jokic down, a good time to sit Aaron Gordon down, and let some of our young players play. And we're dealing with house money. Like, we win this game, we're 5 games out of 6 on the road trip, and if not, we will settle in at 4-2. Which is what everybody would have taken at the beginning of this trip.
Yeah, it's a huge road trip when you can get that. And again, we've talked about it all year, Chris. It's this team just trying to stay above water. And I kind of say above water is like that above 500 record mark. But even more so is, as you said, staying in that 6th spot, staying out of the play-in danger zone there. If they can maintain that 6th or 5th spot, and then you are to get a Jamal Murray back and Michael Porter Jr., who knows, then, man, you might be able to make... Who knows? You might be able to make a playoff run.
Yeah, you'd be a dangerous team. You just definitely would. And, you know, I think you really do want to stay out of the 7 because the 7 and 8, you're just going to get a date with either Golden State or Phoenix. Like, that would be your first round. And that's not a first round that really anybody wants, to be honest with you.
No.
So if you can stay in that 6th spot or that 5th spot, now you're talking about the Utah Jazz or the Memphis Grizzlies. And if you had a Jamal Murray back in your rotation at that time, you know, that's a series that you can rise up and maybe win that series, you know, depending on, you know, the effectiveness level of Jamal Murray at that time, which we know he wouldn't be, you know, bubble Jamal in any of those series, but he would be obviously a very integral, significant player to what they're trying to do in the playoffs. But outside of that, you know, it's I think for the Nuggets, it's you're right. I think they've done a really nice job of navigating the waters here, making sure that they're above 500. And, you know, just until the last couple of games, I mean, they were starting to get well above 500. And just keep on this track. And you know, I think from here to the end of the season, they have majority home games. So can you get on get in a good rhythm at home and really start to separate that out? Make a real run, overtake, maybe hold on to 5th with trying to make a run at 4th. And if you can do either one of those two things, wow, you know, what a season, given the circumstances. And then the playoffs are the playoffs. Brady, I just think, you know, from this team as a title contender standpoint, I think we're still looking at next season for that. But if they can get into the playoffs and make it fun, win a round, that would be great. Really push in the second round as well. If you have Jamal Murray, you'll be able to do that. If you don't, then it'll be tough. But either way, I really do commend this team and that coaching staff for how they have prepared, how they have seen themselves through a ton of roster changes and in players and in and out of the lineup to put themselves in position for a good stretch run.
Well, and I'm excited to see more Bryn Forbes and Joker combo, because last night watching that game, I mean, he looked different last night, didn't he? Or the other night, excuse me, two nights ago. I'm getting all confused on my times. He looked different. He had that winning look where he's almost, I know he's coming off the bench, but it's like, hey, get on my shoulders. I can get us there. I really love to see that. If anything else, just to see, okay, there's another guy that might have this kind of bulldog mentality until Jamal and MPJ get back. They need a guy like that to pair with Joker. And I still would like to see those guys play, you know, some significant minutes together, or even early on in games.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I think sometimes when the main player is off the court, and obviously Nikola Jokic didn't play, then the players that might have just deferred to him all the time, they start. It's a game where they can puff their chest out and take all the shots they want. And they can feel comfortable about maybe getting some looks and taking some shots that maybe they wouldn't if the main player was on the court. And I think that was playing out with Bryn Forbes to an extent, where the Nuggets needed scoring from everywhere. You know, their main scoring guy wasn't playing that night. And so, you know, if you're a support player, now you're not a support player. And you can play a more aggressive role, really look for your shot, and then the offense is also tailored a little bit more to your specific skill set. And in the case of Bryn Forbes, that is pin-down screens, that is screens off the top, and then catch and shoot. And they are not necessarily – this offense, of all the good things that it is, has not been built for a player like Bryn Forbes. It has not been built for a player to – run off three or four screens and then catch and shoot, like we see some other teams like a Golden State with Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. That's not how the Nuggets operate. But when Nikola Jokic is off the court, that's exactly how they can operate. And I thought I saw some different kind of actions, some different kind of sets, a real intention to get him moving and then get him catch and shoot opportunities. And then once he made a couple, it was just all confidence all the time from Bryn Forbes, and I think that's going to be big for him as well. So, you know, the way I look at this, Brady, I think there might be a readjustment period now that Jokic is back on the court. And how do you get the same shots, play the same way, not feel that you have to pass it to Jokic all the time and stay in a confident and aggressive mind state? Can he stay there now that the main guys will be back, or will he take a step back? It'll be interesting to see, but it certainly was fun to see the coaching staff actually have a chance to drop some different stuff and for Bryn to really make it count.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I'm curious, and I was watching that. I'm glad you brought that up with coming off those different screens, because I thought, man, this is a different feel than we're used to. But if you can, that'll be a challenge for Coach Malone and the coaching staff, is to see if they can get a good mix there on that side of it. So, okay, Bryn Forbes, we're all agreeing, has been a nice addition to this team. Trade deadline's not that far away. Do you see Denver being very active in this situation, or is it more or less, hey, we like this squad, we're going to stick it out, we're going to fight to stay above water, and we're just going to wait for backup to get in with Jamal and MPJ?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, usually at the trade deadline, you're talking about, okay, what's the final piece or two that we – well, when you're a team in the Nuggets position, you're usually thinking about what's the final piece or two that we might need to make a real run at the NBA Finals. I don't know that this is that type of season. And so would they be uber aggressive in the trade market? I'm going to guess that that answer is no. Because, they've made a lot of these, moves around the edges in terms of a Bryn Forbes, in terms of a DeMarcus Cousins. I think that they think that once they get their main guys back, with some of these other guys, that that's all that they have made the moves that they need. Now, look, could they make a couple of moves that would kind of alleviate the logjam? There's just like a ton of guards and who you're going to play at in the front court behind the starters, behind Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic at the forward spots, maybe Jeff Green at the forward spot as well. Like, where are you going there? Can you alleviate some of that by making a move? Maybe that would be the kind of thing that I might expect to see from the Nuggets this trade deadline. But nothing that screams, oh yeah, we're going for a title this year, because you need Jamal Murray and you need Michael Porter Jr. on the court to really make that run. We know that maybe one maximum might play, and maybe none of them will play, and so you wouldn't want to give away assets in a season like that for maybe a player that would be on an expiring contract or whatever else. So I think maybe a minor move to alleviate a logjam, or maybe nothing at all, because given what they've already done.
Yeah, well, that'll be certainly something for us to keep our eyes out for. Joker tonight, right, Chris? At least that's what we're being told. What we're thinking, anyway.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think Aaron Gordon will be back. And, the New Orleans Pelicans it's a pesky basketball team. So you want to have all your guys out there on the court, as many of them as possible, to get these next three games at home started off on a positive note.
Yeah, and it was a great road trip, as you said. I think couldn't have realistically hoped for much better than that. Chris, my friend, what time do you guys get rocking and rolling tonight?
So 6:30 will be the pregame show tonight on Altitude Sports, and then 7 o'clock for the game, and it should be a fun weekend with New Orleans and then the Brooklyn Nets coming in on Sunday afternoon, which is an interesting game, and then the New York Knicks after that. So two New York teams and a New Orleans team, and coverage gets going tonight at 6:30.
We'll be watching, my friend. Chris, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, man. We'll take care. We'll see you.
That's Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. He's given Jay Dean a pretty good grade. He said he's doing an outstanding job. Look at that, man. You just said, Chris, don't call me Christopher Dempsey. Say that you're doing a great job. That's a better compliment than most of us could receive in our lifetime. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Hour number two will be the David Roddy Show starting at 1:05. We've got a great segment coming up. We got Getting to Know David as well. We'll get to that and so much more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Well done. Well done.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.